We don't wait for Jules.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, we will start with good news. I always like to start with good news. We do everything but good news these days. And the good news is this. This thing that we call God, this power, this intelligence, never holds anything against you, never blames you for anything, and never punishes you in any way, shape, or form. So if that is going on in your life, your mind is doing that. You are the one that's punishing yourself. Mm-hmm. You are the one that's holding something against yourself that you think that you have to be punished for, or that you're blaming yourself for something. We don't blame ourselves for anything. We're all going to make mistakes. Things are going to come into our life, but we're not going to blame ourselves for that. If you bounce a check, you bounced a check. You don't go blaming yourself for that. You don't carry on for days and days and days because of that. You don't blame yourself if a relationship ends. You don't blame yourself if you lose your job. You just don't blame yourself. Blaming yourself will get absolutely nowhere. You'll get nowhere by blaming yourself. You'll just make the whole thing worse. But you think you've done something wrong. If this thing that we call God doesn't think you have done anything wrong, then why do you think you've done anything wrong? We're all going to make mistakes. We make mistakes, which is a wonderful thing to make a mistake because you know it's a mistake. If you kept doing it and you didn't know it was a mistake, wouldn't that be a hard way to go through life? So when you make a mistake, you immediately know it's a mistake. And you don't blame yourself. You look at it and say, whoops, that was a mistake. I'm not going to do that again. And then you go on about your business. That's the whole idea of go and sin no more. Don't make the mistake again. Don't make the mistake again. Jesus said that. Go and sin no more. That's what people keep blaming themselves for everything. You cannot do that. Blame and shame and guilt are all man-made. God doesn't have any of that going on. So in the mind of God, there is no blame, shame, or guilt. So if you're holding anything against yourself from childhood, from college, from relationships, from I don't care what, money, financial, if you've gone bankrupt, forgive yourself for that and start over again. That is the wonderful thing about life. You can start over at every moment. Every moment is a new start for you. Every moment contains all the possibilities that you need. So think of that, and don't dwell on the past. Don't bring the blame and shame along with you. It's gone. Let it go. That's what it means in the Bible when it says, let the dead bury the dead. Those things are dead, and they're buried. Don't go digging them up all the time and holding them against yourself. The whole idea, remember, is for us to learn to love ourselves. And to know that we're worthy, deserving, lovable, and that we matter. So if there's any blame or shame or guilt going on in your mind at the present moment, or you're holding anything against you, get rid of it right here and right now. Now, the thing to remember about that, since God does not do that, God does never condemn anybody, so God cannot forgive anybody. So if you're waiting for God to forgive you for something that you've done, that's going to take a long time. We call that eternity. And it's not going to happen. God cannot forgive you. A church cannot forgive you. I cannot forgive you. The Pope cannot forgive you. You are the one that has to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself and say, geez, I made a mistake. And don't let your mind say, yes, but it was a big mistake. Who cares? Why do you want to care about that? But some people, when they make a mistake, especially if they think it's a big mistake, they love to hold on to that because now it's a big thing and it means something to them. It doesn't mean anything. It will get you nowhere. It has no benefit to it whatsoever. And if you want to move on with your life and get what you want in your life and make your life wonderful, you have to forgive yourself and never blame yourself again. And when that comes up, instantly forgive yourself. Instantly forgive yourself. Don't hold things against yourself. Because if you do, your mind's not functioning then and focusing on what you need to focus on. You always have to have a clear mind. A mind that is not loaded with blame, shame, and guilt. Can you imagine if all those things were out of your mind, how clear your thinking would be? So just let them go.
Could you clarify a distinction between self-blame and responsibility? You know,
well, because
there's cause and effect, and so we're responsible for our condition.
Well, you're always responsible for everything that comes into your life. Mm-hmm. But you can take responsibility without any blame, shame, or guilt whatsoever. People are afraid to take responsibility because they think along with that, if they make a mistake, then they have to take the blame for that. You take no blame for that. You take responsibility and you say, oops, that was a mistake. That was a mistake. That's all it was. It doesn't have to have blame attached to it whatsoever.
Wouldn't that be you take the responsibility so you don't say, well, it's your fault, Jules, that I fell down.
Yes, no.
I fell down.
You fell down.
Don't blame anybody.
You never blame anyone for anything.
You
want to
blame other people, right?
You can't project outside of your own mind. You give that idea up. People keep thinking that they're talking to somebody else. You know, you're never talking to anybody but yourself. There's nothing going on outside of your own mind. But you want to think that you can go outside of your mind. You can't go outside of your mind. So you have to do it all inside of yourself. The illusion is that there are many people in this room, but the reality is there's only one, you see, and you have to see the one. You have to see the unity in everything. So don't do that, but take responsibility always. I'll take responsibility for anything. I'm not afraid to take responsibility. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I say, whoops, well, I'll try something else. Thank you very much. But do I run around and blame myself and think I'm stupid and dumb and all those things? No, 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 no. Anytime my mind wants to tell me, Dallas, why did you do that? You're not myself. I say, oh, shut up. Just absolutely shut up. And I go on about my business. I don't sit and berate myself for anything that I do. Don't berate yourself. What is it going to do for you? What is it going to do? You think you feel better and you're a better person because now, you know, you might as well be in that cell whipping your back with those, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're here to learn to love yourself. And you're here to do that. And how are you going to love yourself? You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself all day long. Just keep forgiving yourself. And when you're able to do that, then you're able to forgive other people. And then all of a sudden, there's no blame anywhere. There's no blame anywhere.
So then the unevenness of one's life state is a result of not having the continuity of that forgiveness?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. It's always, you have to live in a state of forgiveness. They have to live in a state of forgiveness. That's all there is to it. And it's usually, you have to forgive yourself all day long. Because your mind immediately tells you, oh, that was dumb, that was stupid. You didn't need to spend that, you didn't need to do that, you should have turned right, why did you turn left, da-da-da-da-da-da-do-do-do-do. I mean, it's just these little simple things.
Yeah.
Why is it so much easier to forgive others and not yourself?
Isn't that something? You have to learn to do that. If you can give that gift to somebody else, why can't you give it to yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see? You have to learn to give yourself the gift of forgiveness and to give yourself the gift of everything. You see, you'll spend money probably on somebody else before you'll spend it on yourself. Oh, yes. So, what does that prove?
Worthy, deserving, love, and one matter.
Yeah. See, we have to learn that we're deserving, worthy, totally lovable, and that we matter. When we get those down, then we can say, ha ha, I forgive myself. I'll buy myself the presence of the other person.
Absolutely.
And I won't feel one bit of shame, guilt, or blame for doing that, because I know I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's, we just build our, it's always we're building our own self. And we're stretching our consciousness all the time. And we're learning how to think differently, constantly, about ourselves, so that we see ourselves in a whole new and different light, so that we actually know that we are magnificent beings, that we are magnificent beings. And we have to know that and feel that and see that. And then life changes. It makes all the difference in the world. All mm-hmm. the difference in the world. Okay? So, with that said, let's do are we ready? I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter.
Yes. Talking about it.
We'll talk about it in a moment. Did that feel funny to you?
Uh-huh.
Yay! Perfect.
Do that every day for yourself. Know that you matter and see the difference that will come into your life. Mm-hmm. We're just not taught this. We're taught a lot of things, but we're not taught that we matter. And you absolutely matter. And you have to know that. And it makes all the difference in the world. You'll see your relationship change with people and everything. When you know that you matter, better people will come into your life. And better things will come into your life. And more money will come into your life. As soon as you know that you matter.
And doors will open that you didn't think would.
Yes. Absolutely. Did you have some open?
Oh, absolutely.
Floodgates.
But I'm directing this to Gay.
Oh.
No, seriously, and you know that. I'm just telling you that better things will be for the greater good for
I
you.
I know, and you know, it's not a coincidence that I'm here tonight. No. And here mm-hmm.
Right.
Tonight.
And I want to assure you that great things are coming for you, and that wasn't it. You're awesome, so...
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. There is no coincidence. All right, while we're on that subject, I have an affirmation for people. This was given to me on Monday nights, but I want you people to hear it also. I am available for more good than I have ever experienced, realized, or imagined before in my life.
Ooh.
Isn't that a wonderful one? Mm-hmm. I am available. Most people do not make themselves available. They do not make themselves available for the good that is in store for them. How does one make themselves available for good? You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, lovable, and that you matter. That's making yourself available. Because if you think, well, I don't deserve anything, mm-hmm. the universe can be pouring stuff down upon you. You will not receive it because you'll never see it. You will never see it. We do not see with our eyes, people. We see with our mind. And we have to know in our mind that we're deserving, worthy, lovable, and that we matter. We have to know that in our mind, in our whole being. Once we know that, then we start to see all this wonderful stuff around us. And we start to experience the abundance of life. Life is abundant. Life is abundant. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And have it more abundantly. And then there's all the people out there, be with you, there are all the people out there not doing that. One of my metaphysical mentors was Auntie Mame. And Auntie Mame said, life is a banquet, and most poor are starving to death. And life is a banquet. So don't starve, you know. Don't starve to death. Somewhere along the line, most of us picked up this idea that life may be a banquet, but all we are deserving of are the crumbs that fall off that banquet table. Stop picking up the crumbs, people. Go to the table. Make a place at the table for yourselves.
And don't wait for an invitation.
Never wait for an invitation, my goodness. Just charge right in there and eat the whole thing. I had a friend, an Indian lady, Mrs. Queen, and her little saying was this. She said, Dallas, you know, most people are stepping over dollars to pick up nickels.
Hmm.
And if you notice, that's what most people do.
Hmm.
Don't pick up the nickels. Pick up the dollars. Don't be stepping over all your good. And we step over all these wonderful things all the time to go for the crumbs. Why do you want to go for the crumbs? Because we were taught somewhere along the line that that's all we deserve. That that's all we deserve. And we deserve it all. Each and every one of us. And we can have it all. You see, my good is my good. Your good is your good. I can't take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to open yourself to receive your good. And it will come to you.
But it could be as simple as doing I matter, I'm worthy affirmations every day. And you don't have to wait for good things to happen. Though just by doing that and reminding yourself on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, or whatever it takes to switch your mind to remember the
peace.
The energy will already come.
Yeah.
Good things will already come. Yeah. Because I wanted to differentiate that before having to be totally, fully, you know, just knowing it, while you're on that path, things still come.
Right. Right.
You don't have to go, well, I'm not there yet, so I'm waiting around.
No, we never wait. You remember that old saying, wait broke the wagon down. Wait doesn't do anything for you. Wait broke the wagon down. That's all wait does. So, no, we don't wait.
Mm.
And the reason why we don't wait is because there's only the now. And all your good is already here. And it's already right here in this room. But you cannot see it. You cannot see it till you change your mind. Then you will see all your good in front of you. So you're not waiting for anything. What you're doing is changing your mind so that your eyes are able to see your good. But it's already here, you see. So just by doing those affirmations every day, you will see that your mind starts to change. And my goodness, you say, oh, I never noticed that. Well, look at that. And things will just keep opening for you. But it's done with the mind. Remember, we live in a mental world, not a physical world. We live in a mental world. This whole world is done with your mind. All this is physical, but it has nothing, you know. Remember, on this plane of action, there are only effects. There are only effects on the plane of action that you're looking at. But you have to be able to cause something, and you cause that by going into your mind, by doing it mentally or spiritually. You do it. There is where causation starts. Causation always starts with God. God is always first cause. God is always first cause. You can see secondary causation. Many people make secondary causation first cause, but it's not first cause. God is always first cause. If anything that you're not getting in your life, you're not getting because you made something else causation, which you think is causation, but it's secondary causation. What most people do is you don't go back far enough. You stop when you see a cause. Okay, what is the cause? We'll use cancer. Aha, you have cancer. It is caused by a virus. Ah, but we'll kill that virus and we'll get rid of the cancer. Aha, but that's secondary causation. You didn't go back far enough to first cause. First cause is God. You say right away, aha, God, cure this. Do this now. First cause always knows how to do everything. Secondary causation doesn't know how to do it. Becomes secondary causation. Don't live in secondary causation. People live in secondary causation. People live in the stock market. The stock market is secondary causation. It's always secondary causation. Speaking about the stock market, I found this. This will be our little one. It was a headline. Stocks recover as economy worries ease.
Well, of course.
The stock market, the real estate market, is done with the mind. It's done with race mind. When race mind, the worries ease, the stock market goes up. When you get into all that worry, the stock market goes down. At the present moment, so far this week, I've had other realtors pass through my life this week, and each and every one of them said to me, well, the market's bad. Not selling, we're not selling anything, tons of inventory, but no one is buying. Three different people. One that's not in the real estate business looked at me and said, well, you can just look, all this stuff's for sale, nothing's selling. Wrong time to buy. Can't do it now. Mm-hmm. That's all made up, people. That's all mental stuff. Has nothing to do with reality. And it has nothing to do with you in the real estate business. Don't listen to all those doomers and gloomers. Don't jump on that wagon with everybody else. Say to yourself, that's their universe. And I'm delighted I don't live in their universe. In my universe, I'm selling all the time. My phone is ringing with buyers. My phone is ringing with sellers all the time. And go out and sell. Go out and sell. You're not selling the price of the house. You're selling a home for somebody. And they'll pay for it. So don't buy into that, please. And that is the biggest example. Stocks recover as economy worries ease. Stocks recover as economy eases. During the Depression, the United States, the consciousness of the United States, became depressed along with the Depression. It helped cause the Depression. Then, but many people during the Depression made millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. They said, the heck with this. Mm-hmm. Who believes this? We started to believe all that. And then we started to do other things. During that time, people started to get polio because they were depressed. Polio came in and this, da, da, da. Then all of a sudden we made a polio vaccine. Now no one gets polio. But they never wiped out polio. They changed the minds of the people. That's all the vaccines do, is they change the mind of the people. And you say, oh, well, we've got a cure for that now. We have a vaccine, so now I don't get it. And we stopped it. And no one gets vaccinated for polio anymore. Do you know anyone who gets vaccinated for polio? Not that I know of. I took it as a kid on sugar cubes, I remember. Well, we don't. But it's all done with mind, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's in our consciousness. And it's in what we call the race mind consciousness or the collective consciousness. And when the collective consciousness decides that the stock market is going down, the stock market goes down because they start to worry. And as soon as they start to worry, they lose confidence in it. When they lose confidence in it, it plummets. But we're causing that. It doesn't have any causation of its own. It does not. Don't do that to yourself. Okay? Especially the people who are in the real estate business. Don't listen to those people that are doing that to you. There's always people with money. There are always people with money. And I sold real estate when the percentage rate was 18%. And people said, oh, you'll never sell that. I said, I most certainly will sell it because I'm not selling 18%. I'm selling the home. Plus, I loved it then because at 18%, some of those loans were non-qualifying because the rate was so high, you didn't have to qualify for them. You could have sold it to a soda jerk. Amaze me. Isn't that true? Like when they get up so high, you don't have to qualify for them. It always amazed me. And people say, oh, you can't sell it. I said, what do you mean you can't sell it? You don't even have to qualify for this. So I went out.
All you have to do is breathe.
You got to keep the economy going somehow. Absolutely. Mm. So I was never afraid. So don't be afraid. Especially don't be afraid of the money. And don't be afraid of what the world's telling you out there. Don't jump on their bandwagon. That's your ups and downs in life, is listening to all that stuff that's going on out there. Know perfectly well that abundance is everywhere. And the real estate of homes, people want them. They want them. And they're going to buy them. And you'll just keep right on going. But when you start to get in with the doomers and gloomers, you go right down the tubes with them. And they love to make all the excuses. It's just a story. They tell that story, and they love to tell it over and over and over. Well, there's no sense calling because no one's doing it. Da, 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 da. Who made that up? Mm-hmm. It's all made up.
They.
Yeah, they. Race mind. So don't do it to yourself, okay? All right, race mind alert. You have one? Oh, well, tell me one.
I was just watching the basketball game before I came up here, and there was a Nutrisystems commercial. And it was all women. I've lost 40 pounds, I've lost 50 pounds, I've lost blah, blah, blah. And this one woman says, and my husband thinks I'm hot, and actually he calls me his trophy wife. Not one of the people said, and I'm so proud of myself, I feel good, I feel healthier. It was all about doing it for out there.
Yes. Yes, you have to do it for yourself. You can use out there to stimulate you. But you have to do it for yourself and know that you're doing it because you love yourself and you love yourself enough to do it. You don't do it because your boyfriend wants you to do it or your girlfriend wants you to do it. And that's an awful demeaning thing to say to yourself, I'm a trophy wife.
Yeah.
Now that's absolutely demeaning. But no one can do that. Those things are everywhere. And women on commercials and so forth are taking advantage of one side down the other. Nothing's, you know, changed there. Women.
Ridiculous.
It's awful. Anyway, here's mine. The end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. This is how we get into all the trouble that we get into in the world, because we think we can do anything. And the end result will justify. When we finally get the Middle East stabilized, all the people that we've killed and all the money that we spent will be justified because of the means, the end. And it's not true. It is absolutely not true. And there are these little things that float through race mind. There are tons of these little sayings, just tons of them. And we take for granted that they mean something. And we put
emphasis on that. We think that that's true and that that's real because we've heard it for so long. And we just take it in and say, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. It is not right. So when you're reading or looking at things, see what the content is there, what they're trying to do.
I have another really good one. There's this woman at Doggy Park. She's got a little greyhound. And sometimes people bring their puppies that they just got. She spends more time picking up the greyhound than taking it away from the puppies, going, you know, greyhounds, their immune systems just aren't really good. And in case they haven't gotten their shots, I don't want her to get sick. You know that dog's going to get sick at some point because she just focuses on that dog getting sick. The dog's playing and having a great time.
And why is she taking it to the doggy park?
I know. Hello?
Because she wants everybody to know she's a good dog owner. It's all about ego.
But people get so... if your dog has a little dribble, is your dog sick? No.
Just a little rabies.
Yeah. Parvo, nothing big. They just freak. They put it onto their animals, you know, because we talk about the medicine stuff.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
My dog's fine. I'm feeling a little under the weather, though.
But it's out there, and you have to notice that. And mm-hmm. when you're at the dog park or a restaurant or any place, listen to what people are saying. And they're just taking that in, and we're taking that in all the time, and we're saying, oh, that's what life is. Oh, yes, that's it. That's it. The last time at the counter at the market I was at, the one customer was talking to the waiter, and he said, well, you know how that goes. He said, as soon as you get so far, somebody knocks you back, and then they went into this whole great big thing affirming that this was true. And I'm going, oh, my God. And they ended, the one ended with, isn't life horrible? And I thought, and people say that all the time. And we let that, you know, sometimes I feel like hitting them, but I don't. But I learn from it. I listen and I don't let it in. I said, well, now that's a bunch of bull. That's not right. That, you know, you have to hear it and then let it go and notice it. The reason why this keeps going is people don't notice it. And they think that's the way life is. And they just keep repeating it and doing it over and over and over.
It's watching your words.
Always.
Today, I was in my office and we have an open floor plan, so there's tons of people. And one guy walks in and the other guy goes, how's it going? I'm hanging in there. And I'm all, hanging in there. No, you're not hanging in there. Like I wanted to go... You know, no, because you got to watch what comes out of your mouth, because that's all you're going to do is hang in there.
Right.
Instead of saying, you know, I'm wonderful, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just, you start to pick up what everybody else around you is saying, and then you're like trying to correct it in your own mind.
I had a friend, who used to say, well, how are you? Same old, same old. Same old, same old. I stopped calling. I just stopped calling. Why do I need to hear that for? I knew what he was going to say. Plus, I thought, how can you say that about your life? Same old, same old. Nothing ever... It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So, as you know, I've been gone for about 4 months. And in my absence, I was with my family. And in North Carolina, and a whole other culture. And I bring the teaching with me, and it helps. But I find that as I'm raising their level, I'm also bringing mine down. And eventually my mother, bless her heart, she said, I think it's time you gotta save yourself. I said, yeah, I guess so. And so... My father helped me drive out. We spent 4 days on the road. It was a lovely trip, even though he, at one point, this is an example of the difference in our thinking. This is a lovely little story. He was driving. He had this older pair of glasses that he wanted to travel with because he didn't want to worry about it. Well, the lens kept popping out. So he's driving. I'm napping. And, he finally stops. I get out for a desert refresher, shall we say. And and during which time he fixes the lens of his glasses, and so we start back up, and he goes, "Oh, we're getting a little low on gas." And he said, I didn't notice it because of the lens wasn't in my eye. I said, "What?" So for like 200 miles, he was driving with one lens. Only he couldn't see the dash. He could only see down the highway. Well, I looked over to look at the gas gauge, and I realized he'd also been driving for 200 miles with the parking brake on. As a result of which, we didn't get the mileage we were supposed to get, and so 7 miles from nowhere, in the Texas Panhandle, in the middle of the desert, we run out of gas. And he's all, this is awful. I said, it's fine, you know. He said, I'll hitchhike and you stay with the truck. I go, no, we'll move to the cell phone.
Blind man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I said, we've got our cell phones. Let's, we can call the sheriff at least and, you know, see if he can recommend a gas station or whatever. And then I realized, I had a AAA card in my wallet. And I went, well, it's expired. It was 3 weeks expired. But I went, let's call it anyway. So I called him up and I said, listen, here's the situation. I've got a gas, it's 7 miles from nowhere, and, you know, I got my AAA, it's a little expired, but, you know, she said, well, I can renew that for you over the phone. I said, okay, great. So my father gave me his credit card number. He said, I'll pay for it. So she renewed it, but within a half an hour, a guy came with the gas, put gas in the thing, and we drove on, and, you know, I'm just going, just take a little break, enjoy the nice weather, and, you know. And I really was kind of tickled by the event because my father wanted to be upset, but he couldn't because I went, you know what, it's a little adventure. And I enjoy telling the story because it was a difference between my attitude and my reality and my influencing the situation versus his. So I feel good about that. That I do have the ability to bring other people up, not so much to the point that it's not also costing me something in doing it. And I want to get to the point where, as you know, when I started out here, I was seriously in debt. I owed thousands of dollars on credit card debt, and I paid it off. And so now I'm debt-free, except for truck payments and rent and stuff. And then, at the time I went home, I was up, I had thousands of dollars. And now I'm back to counting the quarters in the ashtray, which you'll notice by my donation tonight. But at least I'm still in a net positive position. I just want to refine this stock market chart to where the peaks and valleys are not so far apart and where I've got more of a steady, observable climb.
Yes. And you will do that as soon as you give up the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is?
The habit of going up and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
Oh, yeah. You're used to that. That's your habit.
So it's an affirmation for that.
Well, it's open your consciousness to...
Well, I'm grateful that the net effect of it is a steady climb. It's just, you know, this.
Oh, yeah, but that's
I'm looking for
the best affirmation is always money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that,
okay.
And don't see yourself even in your mind. If you do that, you draw this little thing and you go like this. Oh. I'm up and down and up and down and up.
So let me
stop
say
doing
in,
that
in
stuff.
Past tense that I've been experiencing. The sensation of starting over again and again and again and again and again.
Well, that's all we ever do. There's no, you see, that's a race mind thing,
mm-hmm.
that you have to stay on the job for 30 years, mm-hmm. and that you have to, at a certain age, become absolutely steadfast and steady.
Mm-hmm.
That's pure race mind. You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can start over every day. You can have many businesses in your life. All that. But what you're doing is, you're saying, I don't have the money because I don't have something that's steady going on. That's going on.
So sort of what I'm saying is that there's something in me that's interrupting the...
That's what's in you. That's an idea that you have in you. That's a belief that you have in you. That's it. So, forgive yourself immediately. Don't blame yourself and stop telling the story.
Right.
You know, make a new story for yourself.
Right. What about my father? That's a good story because it...
Well, that's pretty good, but that has nothing to do with money.
No.
So, we want money. All right, with that said, let's do an affirmation. Or let's do a treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with this thing that we call God. And this thing that we call God is nothing but abundance, prosperity. And I am one with that abundance and that prosperity, and that also includes money. And I open myself right here and right now. I make myself available for all the good that is coming my way. And I accept it with a grateful heart. Because I know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. So money is constantly flowing in my life. It's coming to me from every corner of the universe, and I am open to receiving it. And I receive it right here and right now, and I let that be so, and so it is. You have to see money all the time coming to you. You have to see your good coming to you. You have to know that this thing that we call God wants to give you that good. Because all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. God wants to work through you. Anything that comes into your life because God is working in, as, and through you. We of ourselves do nothing. It's always the Father within that doeth the work. So you have to know that. You have to know that you're connected to that thing called God. That the life that you're living is the life of God. The life that you're living is the life of God. And that life only knows abundance and prosperity. And if it knows abundance and prosperity, that has to include money. It has to include money. And you have to know that God wants you to live opulently. Opulently. There is no virtue in poverty whatsoever. Years ago, at a convention, Charles Fillmore stood up and said, poverty is a sin. Poverty is a sin. Because other churches want to teach you that God loves the poor. God happens to love everybody. That's what God does. God loves. There's nothing. But poverty is absolutely a sin because you're not using your God-given qualities to bring good into your life and to bring money into your life. And people don't do that because they think that they're not worthy of it, that they don't deserve it. And race, mind, always looks down on poor people and makes them feel even worse. Always looks down on poor people. Even though they're God's favorites. Show me somebody that doesn't look down on them and say, why can't they pick them up? Why can't they do something? So, poverty is a sin. So don't do that. If you've made that mistake, sin only means a mistake, by the way. It just means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. It was put in the St. James version of the Bible. So, anyway. It's just a mistake we make. But always, you have to think good of yourself. And you have to see yourself having your good. And you keep that, and it will come to you. Absolutely. This is what we call the immutable law of the universe, the law of attraction. And we are one with that. We are one with this thing called the universe. The universe is very sensitive to us. It's sensitive to every thought we think. It knows exactly what to do with every thought that we think. And it brings it back to us, either multiplied abundantly or in some other horrible form because we're not thinking correctly. Every thought the universe does something with. That's how sensitive it is. It's sensitive. So think of that. And Think how sensitive the universe is when you don't like yourself. Think how you're dishonoring the universe, how you're dishonoring this thing called God by thinking poorly of yourself. You have to think good of yourself. God didn't make junk. God isn't in the junk business. God knows exactly. God created you exactly the way you were supposed to be created. Exactly. And you have every quality in you to do what you want to do. Everything is there. Just recognize it. Bring it out of yourself. And do it for yourself. Works every time. Works every time. Across the board. No. All right. Tonight's topic is miracles. Last week we talked about mystery. And learning to live in the mystery. And learning to see that life is a mystery. But it's a wonderful mystery. And that we don't have to know the answers to everything. And we have to now look at miracles in our lives and all the miracles that are around us all the time. Does anyone remember an evangelist called, I believe her name was Catherine Coleman. I know her name was Coleman. Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman always stood up and said, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. And she was able to accomplish a great many miracles in her life. First of all, you have to believe in miracles. Now, what did I always say about miracles? Miracles are always instantaneous at the moment of belief. So we're always building our belief system so that the miracle will happen instantaneously. But we think that things have to be sequential on this plane of action, and we think we have to work up to something first instead of allowing it just to be right there, right now, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. That's all we have to do. But you have to be able to see miracles in your life. You have to be able to see miracles in yourself. You have to know that you're a miracle. It's a miracle that we're alive, that we're living, and that we're breathing. No one knows how we do all this stuff. There's no one knows what goes on. We're absolutely miracles. No one knows how we can eat a carrot and it becomes a fingernail. No one knows that. But it does, doesn't it? Everything transforms itself into something. Everything transforms itself into something. This is a wonderful miracle, this whole, what we can call it, a temple if we want, this thing that we're living in, this body that we're living in. And think of that every day. My goodness, look what my beautiful body's doing for me. Isn't that a miracle? My heart is beating, my lungs are breathing, my liver's doing this, my gallbladder is doing that, my stomach is digesting this food, my intestinal tract is, you know, that's an absolute miracle. No one knows how all that stuff happens. We have ideas of how it all works. We don't know how it all works. We don't know about all the different chemical reactions that go on inside of us constantly. All the chemical reactions are going inside of you right now while you're sitting there. And tons are going on inside of me because I'm talking. And my mind has to be up there just throwing things back and forth for me to be able to put a talk together. But that's a miracle. It's a miracle. It gets together. So you have to see miracles and allow them into your life. And know that it isn't something that only happens every once in a while. Or it only happens to some people. Know that there are miracles going on just constantly. There are miracles going on constantly. And we have to know that. And you have to know that you're a miracle. And that you're living inside of a miracle. And that you have all this going on all the time. Does anyone know about the, like a little mushroom that can be underneath the pavement outside, and it grows, that little mushroom, and it lifts the pavement to grow. It can lift the pavement. a mushroom that has no thing. It knows how to do all that. Now, isn't that a miracle? Mm-hmm. We don't know how all that's done. It's a miracle. We don't know when we put a seed in the ground. We don't know why that sprouts. No one knows if it's the ground that does it, if it's in the seed, if it's a combination. No one knows exactly why you get that. But you get it. That's a miracle. An absolute miracle. Have you ever opened a seed to see what's inside of a seed? Have you? Mm-hmm. What's in there?
Like the little concentric circles with the little germ in the center, and then there's, it's very weird. It's like it's a little life form waiting to pop open.
But isn't there dust in there?
Well, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff in there.
Yeah, but like little, it looks like little dust in the center.
Right.
Little dust. And you plant that, you get a plant.
But you can see a little pattern inside.
You can,
It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. But there, that's an absolute miracle. That's an absolute miracle. How many times have you heard me say, such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And that's what's in. Life is in the seed, waiting for the opportunity to appear. Inside of you is life, meaning there's ideas. There's all kinds of possibilities inside of you, waiting to appear. And all you have to do is give it the right environment. And these things will lay dormant. They're always there, but they lay dormant. How many people know about the seeds that they get from the pyramids? Some of those seeds are 2,000, 3,000 years old. They plant them and it grows. Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. Life is appearing all around you all the time. It's an absolute miracle. Now, if you don't think that that's true, don't clean your sink for 1 week and you will see life starting to appear.
I see it in my refrigerator.
Yes, you can see it in your refrigerator. But life does. It just appears. Life appears. Given the opportunity, it just appears.
When Mount St. Helens blew and it wiped out life for 100 square miles or more, when it started coming back, there were life forms that were prehistoric that we had not seen for 10 million years.
Yes.
There were seeds that had been
come up. They came up. They find that all the time. They find that all the time. But we live in an absolute miracle, meaning inside, we are miracles. This planet Earth is a miracle. And look what we keep finding here on this Earth. And they say, oh, there's nothing new to be found, and we're constantly finding new. Now they're finding new life forms again in the, wherever it was the last time. But they're constantly. It's just an absolute miracle. And you have to know that. And you have to be available for these miracles. We see miracles all the time in healing, physical healings. And the medical profession will say, well, that was a spontaneous recovery and this, that, and the other thing. Because they have no other way in their language to do it. And they can't accept that something because they operate on a sequential paradigm. They have to see it go down the line. If it doesn't go the way they want it to or the way they think it is, then it's spontaneous. But they will not use the word miracle. But you have to know that there are miracles out there. And why would there be miracles out there? Because all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Yeah, it's always these little obvious things, right? She's like, darn, I miss it again. We hear these things, you know, since childhood you've heard all this stuff. Now you have to put it together and make it work for you. When you say, oh, that's right, all things are possible with God. So there has to be miracles. All things are possible with God. You can have all the money you want. You can have all the abundance and the prosperity that you want. All things are possible with God. It's a miracle. In the real estate business, know that you can sell. It has nothing to do with the market. It has nothing to do with the market. But you're selling. Make that a miracle. And if people ask, you can say, oh, it's a miracle. Or you don't have to say anything. But don't buy into the other stuff that's going on out there. You know? Don't buy into it. Always remember, all things are possible with God. And don't allow race mind to be so convincing that it talks you out of it all the time. Most of the people in race mind absolutely believe in God. But when push comes to shove, they don't believe in God anymore. They just don't believe in God anymore. Wonderful story that I love. People were out at sea, cruising, cruise ship. We started to sink. And they said, well, we'll do this, we'll put the lifeboat, we'll do this, da, 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 da. And it kept sinking and sinking. Everything they tried, it was sinking. So finally the captain said, oh, we better pray to God. And the woman said, you mean to tell me it's come down to that? It's come down to that. See, we always wait to the last thing to ask God to help us with something. It should always be your first thing. I was driving along, I think it was yesterday, and I had bumper stickers. I'm always reading bumper stickers. And it said, dear God, dear God, I'm glad that you are God. Now I'm going to let you do your work. Love me.
What was the first part? Dear God, what?
Dear God, I'm glad that you are God. Now I'm going to let you do your work. Love me. Look, and it was written like with a little kid on the back. Which is absolutely true. Let God do these things for you. Let God give you a miracle. Pray for a miracle. Know that miracles exist. Instead of waiting to the last moment, or instead of trying to do everything yourself. Why does everyone want to do everything themselves? What virtue is in that? I have not a faintest idea. When you have something that can help you, knows how to do it, why wouldn't you turn it over and just say, here, I don't know. I don't know. In the real estate business, I don't know why nothing's selling, but I know, God, you're on my side, and what I have is going to sell. And what I have is going to sell. Now, show me how to do that. Help me out here. And God will help you. That's what this power does. That's what this power does that we talk about. It has to work in as and through you. That's what it's doing all the time. It's working in, as, and through you. You are not separated from this thing that we call God. But you have to recognize that, and you have to say, come, use me. Great affirmation. Make me an instrument of thy good. Make me an instrument of thy will. Work through me. Show me the miracles. Show me the miracles. And then build your faith in that. Otherwise, what is the sense of having a God? What is the sense of having it? There'd be no sense whatsoever. And for some people, of course, there is no sense whatsoever. They don't care about God. But we talk about God in a completely different way than churches do and so forth. Talk about God as in as and through you. God is your friend. All that kind of stuff. Not all that, whatever else they do, I don't know. Can't count. I'm so far removed from all that anymore. Who cares what they do? Learn that you are a miracle and that you can have miracles. And all things are possible with God. And don't wait to the last moment to be asking God for help. You know, many people come to me at the last moment. Some people come to me when they have a physical ailment that they have allowed to go so far because they haven't done anything, they've never asked God to help them. Now all of a sudden, they want you to bring them back, usually in one session, from... Now, I'm not saying that that can't be done because miracles can happen. But don't wait. Don't wait till you're down to your last dime and then say, God, can you help me now? Why didn't you ask for it before? Why didn't you say, I never want to get down to my last dime and I know, God, you can keep me from doing that. You see? And I know you can keep me from doing that. I know that I make enough money to support me throughout my life. And I know that God is with me doing that all the time. These are the things that you have to do. The idea of building faith, the idea of having miracles and so forth in your life, is to get rid of the worry, the stress, the strain, and the anxiety in your life. We're not supposed to have those things in our life. We're supposed to be here to learn to love ourselves. We're here to enjoy this thing. This should be an absolute vacation for us. It should be an absolute enjoyable experience. Yes, we're going to have interesting things happen to us. We're going to have challenges and opportunities happen to us. But we should relish those things and not turn our life into a melodrama, into a B-grade movie. Ooh. And that's exactly what we do. Why do we want to do that? Instead of saying, God, I know that you're in me, that you're through me. Now use me. Show me how to do this. I haven't the foggiest idea how to do it, but I know that you know how to do it. You know? And God will listen. And God will come up to your aid. But we have to move ourselves out of the way and stop thinking, oh, I can do this. I know how to do this. Give that up. And learn to use this power. And you'll see all the difference in your life. You'll see all the difference in your life. But learn to love yourself. Start there. Know that you matter. Know worthy and deserving and lovable. Know those things. And watch miracles happen in your life. And they will happen in your life. And everything will turn around in your life. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? And then wouldn't that be a miracle right there? Mm-hmm. So, make a miracle for yourself. Know that it is absolutely possible. Absolutely possible. There is nothing holding you back from a miracle but your belief system. You have to believe in it. All miracles are instantaneous. At the moment of belief, build your belief system. Build your belief system. God never asks us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. It's done with belief, not only in God, but in yourself. Why in yourself?
Because all I am is God.
Yes. So you have to start with yourself. God already loves you. God is already for you. God already wants to give you everything. Now you must make yourself available for that. And you make yourself available with that by knowing that you're loving, deserving, worthy, and that you matter. And that clears the way for this power to work through you. And it is an absolute miracle. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.